Hi, this is Aaron on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. That would be Aaron Hart. I'm joining you tomorrow, too, on this station, and I would be happy to talk to you. Oh, by the way, our first guest will be Tom Hartman tomorrow morning. He'll be checking in with us. He is, of course, the ham in the sandwich between, well, he's not really ham, but you know what I mean. He's between hosts here on AM 760, Colorado Progressive Talk. Now, we're going to check in with Eric Bollert of Media Matters, and MediaMatters.org follows conservatives and all of their wily ways. Currently, we've been chortling this morning, Eric, being very sad and childish about the teabagging party tomorrow. But you wrote a very searing article that I want to talk to you about first before we laugh at them, and that is, you wrote a column today on the site called Airing a Dangerous Paranoia, which is about the shooter in Pittsburgh, Richard Poplawski, who shot the police in the head when they arrived to answer a domestic violence call that his mother had placed. He apparently was filled with a bunch of paranoia about President Obama, about FEMA. Tell us about him.
Well, the Pittsburgh Press found out or talked to people who knew him and found out he was basically, you know, sort of a right-wing conspiracy nut. He spent a fair amount of time online at sort of white supremacist sites and sort of bought into conspiracy theories that sort of gained some traction during the 90s during the militia movement.
I remember it well.
There's a Democrat in the White House, apparently the government verges on tyranny and totalitarian state, and they're coming after your guns and all that stuff.
According to 60 Minutes, there's an ammunition shortage, which is pretty scary in and of itself.
That's right. This stuff really gets whipped up, even though Newsweek has an article this week about how Democrats have no interest whatsoever in touching gun control or anything having to do with guns.
They have enough hard stuff, heavy lifting to do.
So the irony is during the Clinton years, there was actually a push to curb guns and assault weapons specifically. But we're hearing the same sort of doomsday rhetoric, but this time it's completely sort of fictional. But anyway, you know, this Poplawski, the accused cop killer in Pittsburgh, days before the shooting, he was linking to or uploading some Glenn Beck videos onto the far-right sites. And, you know, and Glenn Beck is, even after the Pittsburgh killing, even after people pointed the finger at the irresponsible rhetoric Beck's been using, he said on his radio show, Obama will take your gun away one way or another. So this is the stuff that they're peddling over at Fox News. And as I said, the rhetoric is reminiscent of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Militia movement. What's different now is that Fox News has sort of stepped up and is willing to mainstream all of that stuff.
And that scares me a bit because, you know, the militia movement was not I worked with a man named Alan Berg. So, you know, when I was a baby talk show host, he helped a number of us get a shot at a microphone. And I have never forgotten that and never forgotten what happened to him. So it can be really serious and certainly not a laughing stock. So, why did this get started? Because Obama, you know, is, I guess, in charge of the assault weapons ban, but there is no movement to start this or to do anything about it right now.
No, none.
Why?
The irony is that, you know, during the early Clinton years, again, when we had sort of the same sort of tribal hysterical reaction to a baby boomer Democratic president.
Yes.
You know, stuff actually did happen.
Too.
You know, there was the Waco siege. There was a push for the assault weapons ban. I mean, Vince Foster did kill himself. There were lots of actual events that conspiratorial people could latch on to. You know, the first couple months of the Obama administration, I mean, he's passed the stimulus bill and he's continued the bailout plan that the Bush started. Other than that, nothing has really happened to give even, to even give conspiratorial theorists any, traction or anything. But they're just as sort of exercised as they were during the Clinton years. And again, back then, you know, it was sort of these facts networks. People were faxing around things.
Yes.
It was the very early days of sort of online bulletin boards.
Got lots of those from Montana.
That's right. They were churning them out in prairie states. And you know, the Washington Times and, you know, the Wall Street Journal editorial page and talk radio, that was sort of the peak of their media pyramid in terms of spreading this message. But again, what's different now is that Fox News has stepped in and has, you know, worked as sort of a bridge or a transmitter between the radical rhetoric and the mainstream. And now Fox News is, particularly Beck, is introducing all of this stuff. You know, Obama's a fascist. You know, look out for the totalitarian state. You know, tyranny is lurking. All that stuff, they're dumping right in the mainstream.
I know, and he's also falsely claiming, as your report today notes, your conservative misinformation, that Beck is also falsely claiming that Iowa marriage is actually going to go into the churches, which isn't true at all.
No, I mean, almost nothing he says when it has to do with policy is true. He went on a rant on Friday where he pretended to douse someone in the studio with gasoline and sort of thought about lighting a fire because of the Obama immigration plan, which is sort of being unveiled, and Beck claimed it had no provisions for setting up for cutting down the number of people coming over. There was no sort of legal retribution for illegal. I mean, he was just making stuff up for the premise for his attack on Obama. And he said, "Why don't you just light a match on us?" And at another point, Beck says, "You know, it'd be quicker if you just shot me in the head."
I mean,
he says it with it's supposed to be funny, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't think everyone's getting the joke.
The only time I've found him funny is when Stephen Colbert imitates him. But given this, he's actually is it really true that he Eric Bullard that he's planning on going out on the road as a stand-up comedian this summer?
Yeah, there was a piece of the AP report yesterday, and apparently he's done this in the past in a few markets. You know, not as many people were paying attention to him when he was on CNN because his ratings weren't very good. But that's what he does. He's a rodeo clown, and he just wants to tell jokes while, you know, fanning the flames of hatred across America.
Okay, then. Not something I find particularly funny. Now, Fox News is apparently, and so is Clear Channel, full disclosure, I'm on a Clear Channel station, just so you know, ownership of Tea Parties and therefore extremist rhetoric. This is your other headline. You know, they really have been taking ownership. Did you see David Schuster's double entendres about teabagging yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't see his, but I did see Rachel Maddow's.
Rachel Maddow's, yeah. If you get a chance, replay Schuster on his
Olbermann
show, because it's really stunning in its depth and breadth in terms of double entendres about teabagging. Did they really realize what teabagging meant, or did they just?
I don't know. I don't even know if they know now.
I'm not sure they do either.
But the interesting thing is that, you know, as you mentioned, Fox has just sort of completely gone in. They've hijacked this whole thing. They're urging their viewers to go and get involved. And you know, my point is, imagine if, you know, February of 2003, you know, CNN was urging its viewers to attend anti-war rallies, and Larry King was hosting a fundraiser for an anti-war rally, and it's just insane. It has nothing to do with journalism, not that people associate Fox News with journalism. But the idea they're going to co-sponsor a news event, we've gone over to the other side at this point.
Yeah, that crosses the line big time, and I'm sure Howie Kurtz will pick on them, and certainly you at Media Matters will, and good for you, because it should be. But it's the amount of misinformation, does it seem, I mean, I know they did this to Bill Clinton, too.
Yeah.
But it does seem to me to be stunning in its breadth and depth, after Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Is that my imagination?
No, it's completely true. I mean, you know, we do this for a living, and everyone is still at Media Matters is just sort of shaking their heads and cannot believe what is transpiring in the first 3 months of his presidency.
What I love is 2 days. Is he socialist yet?
Well,
4 days.
I wrote a column in February. I said, for, you know, documented this just sort of wild, unhinged rhetoric. I mean, you remember Limbaugh made headlines when he said, you know, right around inauguration, you know, I hope he fails. And with a month, that was, like, completely benign. I mean, that was the nice stuff that people were saying about Obama. But, no, we've never seen a political movement just sort of melt down in 30 days the way conservatives did with Obama. And the misinformation, and it's just been really loopy. I can't begin to explain it.
I wonder, do you think that the turnout will be really huge at these tea parties tomorrow? Because I had a guy just call me and scold me and say, we're really concerned out there. We don't feel Democrats or Republicans listen to us. I mean, wasn't this idea originally started by Ron Paul? I think.
Yeah. And, you know, we've had sort of a precursor. There was a rally in Denver about a month ago. It was going to be an anti-stimulus bill, anti-pork spending. But it really was just sort of an anti-Obama mob rally. So... I'm sure you're going to see lots of – I have no idea what the turnout will be, but I'm sure you're going to see lots of Obama's a communist, Obama's a fascist, Obama's a Marxist posters.
Sure.
And because that's what we saw in some of these early ones. And again, you know, Fox News has sort of branded itself, so it's completely logical to sort of – hold them responsible for a lot of the, if there's lots of hate rhetoric at these rallies.
Well, one of the things that, I mean, is there any disinfectant? For, I mean, certainly information, honesty is a good disinfectant for this concept. MediaMatters.org, certainly very good site to go to for clearing some of the misconceptions out in the and to dispel the conservative misinformation in your alerts. But I guess I still am puzzled by Thomas Frank's observation that, you know, what's the matter with Kansas? Why do these people support him when they're not going to benefit from any of these new tax from the tax policies of the Bush administration, which is really what they're protesting, I guess, to a certain degree, although they claim it's also the stimulus, which, again, was also begun under the Bush administration.
Just as an observer, I mean, the anti-tax rhetoric is interesting because since I think the OMB has said, you know, taxes are going to go down for 95% of Americans under Obama, basically taking the tax rate back to the Clinton years. I don't think most of these people protesting were the big beneficiaries of the tax rate during the Bush years.
Right.
I don't know, but we'll see.
I'm thinking not.
But, you know, it's not really about taxes. I think it's about fear, and I think it's about paranoia. Not that, you know, I'm completely generalizing about everyone's motivations. But,
I know.
Again, we've seen precursors, and it does seem to be a hardcore anti-Obama thing and not much else.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see if any substance come out of it or any new ideas, because, of course, Politico today writes about, their, hey, where are the ideas? Where's the beef, you know? All of these different political leaders are trying to step to the fore, but I don't still hear any ideas coming out. What made Newt Gingrich...
I mean, you can be opposed to the stimulus spending, and that train left the station, but, you know, you're not going to find many economists in February thought, yeah, the best thing we should do is nothing. So that doesn't even seem like a viable idea.
No.
We'll see. Be sure to watch Fox News.
Yes, and then read Media Matters so that you can clear up what you just read, so that you make sure that
you
don't
forget everything you watched.
You don't fall for it ever again. Thank you very much for joining us, and we all both have to watch Glenn Beck and see if he really can be a comedian or not. Yeah. Eric Bullard, thank you so much for your time today.
Talk to you soon.
All righty. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in for Jay Marvin this morning. Thank you for joining us. It's 9:21 in the morning. Okay, we're going to play another Media Matters Minute or Two coming up. Discuss that. Must discuss. Look, those of you who are disaffected and feeling sad and angry, I don't mean to make fun of that. Look, we've been in the outlying party for a long time, but are you being effective? Do you feel heard? And isn't this like the peasants going into a House of Lords rally? 9:21, I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. And here's John Turk with the traffic. You know we're going to play Tea Party songs tomorrow, too. This is the Tea for Party, Tea for Two, Cha-Cha-Cha party song. I can't believe the outrage. You know, how dare you make fun of right-wing Republicans? Oh, come on. It's what I've been doing for years. Jeff in Westminster, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Great good interview. Morning.
Thank you.
Yes.
I like him. He's very smart.
He's very smart. I'm going to leave the tea bagging alone.
Yes, please. We don't pass the tea bags, please.
Especially, you know, with a state with Ted Haggard here.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Did you have to raise that image in my brain?
I am calling there. There's a couple of things that are still in committee.
Yes.
And one of them is S-425, which is the Food Safety and Tracking Improvement Act.
Okay.
And the other one is, in the House, it's different. It's H.R. 875. It's the Food Safety Moderation Act of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sponsored by a couple of people, ConAgra.
Oh.
And Monsanto and Tyson. And what it basically will do is make it so that anyone who's planting heirloom seeds in their backyard will not be able to. They'll have to buy seeds from ConAgra and Monsanto.
Oh, no, 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 no.
And I don't know if people are aware of this, but it's actually in committee right now.
In the U.S. Congress. Is this
in
the
Congress
same one?
And the Senate. There's two separate bills. They're both read about the same. They just have different names, because I guess Monsanto and ConAgra figure that, you know, they might as well take two shots at passing this.
Doesn't it also say that you can't trade? Is this the one that also says you can't trade organic food or buy organic food if you sell it in your backyard?
Yes.
That is nonsense. That is nonsense.
And so
farmers have been doing that for years in farmers markets and in co-ops and everything else. No, 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 no.
Yep, as someone who likes to go around and buy food from, you know, farmers markets.
Yeah, I do.
I just want to get this out there so people know, you know, there's still some sneaky stuff that they're trying to do.
Well, and speaking of which, in our own local house in Colorado, I guess the House bill on health care for all has been delayed until today or tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So if you still want to weigh in on that, go to healthcareforallcolorado.org so you can link up with other advocates in the area and get that sucker passed.
Yep. Thank you very much, Aaron, and
you're
have a good time teabagging tomorrow.
Yeah, I ain't going to teabag. I'm just going to make fun of it on the radio, but thanks. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Besides, I think perhaps, just a thought, I think it's physically impossible for me personally to wield teabags. By the way, I've got a comment on our Norm Coleman rant a little earlier. Next time Norm Coleman shows up in court, everyone should shout Norm, as in cheers. Good suggestion, Mike D. on Facebook. I also like, will Norm Coleman ever hold office again? You know, if he keeps this up in Minnesota, they have gone through every, I think once the Minnesota Supreme Court weighs in, I don't see how Tim Pawlenty is going to get out of having to sign that election certification. But I've thought that before. Bill in Longmont, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
I'm sitting with my cup of talk radio tea, otherwise known as Constant Comment. I can never look at a tea bag the same way again.
You know, I was looking at my tea bags last night and thinking, you know, these little tea bags are looking quite different today.
Yes, it's steeped in something entirely different.
Yes, I think I may only buy the triangular ones from now on.
There you go. Perhaps we should show up there and pass out some sour grape tea. I think that might be the most appropriate.
You know, it might be. They've got their knickers in such a twist, and boy, do they hate being made fun of. But, you know, when I watch a little right-winger, that great clip of Maddow's, and maybe we have it, John, we'll play it after the break, where there's just pundit after Beck after Hannity after everybody going, teabagging, teabagging, teabagging. It's like, do you guys ever travel in sort of more, say, intimate circles or get to know people walking on the wild side of life or whatever? I don't know. It just seems a little silly. But on the other hand, they're not even protesting with the correct protest.
Yeah.
I think the funniest thing is to watch the transitions from on Fox from their advocating attending the tea parties, and then in the next segment they will talk about liberal media bias.
Right. Right, and you're like, oh, and what's their new slogan? It's really terrible. It's no unbiased media here, or what, you know, it's like they can't do fair and balanced anymore because everybody's made so much fun of them for that it's now lost its meaning. So, you know, it was clever when they first came out with it. I'll give them that. But, you know, now nobody believes it anymore. So it's like, and now they're going, no bias, no, you know, it's like, what are you trying to do? Emulate Cameron, whatever her name is, on CNN?
The one I keep
no bias, no bull.
We distort, you deride.
Exactly. And they distort and I deride happily and as much as possible. Thank you very much.
But no, this was, it's just funny. Basically, these people are, they lost an election and they had so much ego invested in that election that they can't deal with it and look forward. And it's sad. It's kind of, you know, you just wish they'd grow up and learn to participate in the realities as they are instead of.
Well, but then again, remember after 2000, they kept telling us to get real and grow up and face the music and get over it and all kinds of things. And so I guess it behooves us
to... Well, but you know what? Immediately after 9/11, when we thought we were going to pursue the terrorists of 9/11 the correct way, we did. The whole country
was
behind
Bush. I did and got earned the ire of some of my more liberal listeners were pissed at me for months. Some of them never got over it that I suspended the Bush bash I was doing right because I felt the country's at war. We've been attacked. This is really serious. And I soon discovered within 3 weeks when he made that Axis of Evil speech, I went, oh, no, you don't.
And where,
oh,
where
no.
is all the is all the conservative praise now for Obama for handling the pirate situation?
They buried it. They buried the lead on Fox. Yeah. They didn't even mention it. They acted as if the pirates spontaneously combusted and the captain jumped overboard. It's like if you were listening to them, that's what you thought happened. These bullets magically rained out of an army that certainly isn't the commander chief, isn't Barack Obama. And by the way, they can't even bear to mention him. Whenever he has a success, you didn't see any egg rolling clips on Fox. You know, you don't see who's your daddy, Barack Obama. You don't see him in a human way on Fox ever, ever. No.
I wished I were writing headlines yesterday. You know, Rocks lose to Phillies, but Yanks beat Pirates. I would have had so much fun with that.
Oh, that's terrible. I guess we did beat the Pirates, didn't we? In that way.
Yes.
Yes. That took me a while to get. I was like, what? Oh yeah. A little sad. I've been listening to far too many teabagging double entendres.
I can think of several more, but never mind.
Yes, well, all right. Thank you. We'll clean up a little bit.
This is a great morning of radio, Aaron. This is fabulous.
I'm glad. 9:33 in the morning, I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show, being a very bad 12-year-old and blushing a lot. But hey, we're having fun, right? 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart, filling in on the J. Marvin Show. I'll be back with you tomorrow, too. Right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Time for traffic and John Turk.
The Republican Party controls no real levers of power in Washington. They have yet to settle on any national leadership at all. They did come up with a Republican budget proposal in the House of Representatives, and 38 House Republicans even voted against that. The GOP, in other words, is clearly in exile. But the conservative movement has found a reason to live. They have found something about which they feel very positive, something they are ready to rally around. I speak, of course, of teabagging.
Angry taxpayers, or at least some of them, are taking to the streets in the spirit of the Boston Tea Party.
More than 250 locations in all 50 states will hold rallies on April 15th.
Americans sick of government ballots and wasteful spending, taking their message to the streets, and it's spreading fast. We're all over it.
They're going to try and send tea bags to D.C. D.C. Teabag the White House. Teabag the fools in D.C.
Teabagging. After spending mailing tea bags.
Mailing tea bags. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Lisa suggests that we should put tea parties, we need a pitcher of water to pour over their heads, and she'd volunteer. That might cool their ire a bit. Hi, David in Boulder. Welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. And let me just quickly add the phone number for those of you who are just joining us, 303-713-7600. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning. You know, I was sitting here thinking, and I said, I like the fact that you're not a liberal coward.
Well, thank you.
I really enjoy that because I run across a lot of them, you know, personally. But I would strongly suggest for, I know it works for me, I never talk to Republicans unless I've had a good bowel movement.
Oh.
That is something that really keeps me mentally healthy, okay?
I see.
And I think we're not going to really solve this problem with these guys until we start sending them to jail for some of the corona. Some of the things they do is just so obvious that they're breaking the laws, disrespecting the Constitution, so forth, so on. After the Bush administration, we should have built new jails for these people.
And well, I think
we're letting them off the hook too easy. I think these people need to go to jail every time they rip off the taxpayer, because that's what they do every time they get in office.
See,
you know?
Now that's a protest I could get behind, so to speak. Is that if people wanted to assemble bipartisan basis and say we want white collar criminals to go to jail right now? You cheat, you lie, you steal, you sell stuff that has no existence in reality. Then guess what? You get to go to jail because that's fraud.
That's
goodbye.
Right.
Good luck. Have a nice life.
You know, my cousin died over in Iraq. Dealing with this, and I hated that he went.
Yeah.
You know, and he never came back home. And you know, there are consequences with the decisions these people make. Even now, with our educational system, they don't want to educate our kids. They want to keep them dumbed down so they can exploit them and get cheap labor, what have you. But we have got to make a stand, especially at this time. And we live in a nuclear society. We can't afford to have crayon box mentalities. These people are a liability to our democracy, and we have to treat them as such.
Well said. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, David. I'm going to keep that metaphor in hand for a while. And today, President Obama said, we cannot rebuild, comparing the story of two men from the Sermon on the Mount. It's this: we cannot rebuild the economy on the same pile of sand. We must build our house upon a rock. We must lay a new foundation for growth and prosperity, a foundation that will move us from an era of borrow and spend to one where we save and invest, where we consume less at home and spend more on exports abroad. Daniel, thank you for joining us on AM 760 from Louisville. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Aaron. It's good to hear your voice. I always love it when you're on the air.
Thank you. Me too.
And I was confused because I listen to Tom Hartman religiously. I think he's one of the best civics professors in America.
He's wonderful, and he'll be our guest tomorrow morning.
So he was saying something, or at least I heard him say something, about we got to go to this teabag thing and have our signs out there, tax the rich. And, you know, it's and I got a good friend of mine that's, man, he's been with me with all this thinking, and he's going to go to this thing tomorrow, and he was surprised that I didn't know anything about it, but I don't listen to O'Reilly and those guys.
Right, right.
So what do you think about the idea that we should show up there?
I think if they're counter-protesters, I think it may have been Ed Schultz who suggested that. I'm not for sure that Tom Hartman did, just because I didn't get a chance to listen to him. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't have a chance to listen to him yesterday. Look, counter-protests are a fine tradition in this country. You know, if you want to show up and go do that, I think it's a good idea. I'm going to be on the radio, certainly doing the radio version of that. I'm not sure, you know, I'd worry a little bit about how angry they might get, because they're pretty angry anyway. But I don't think that's a reason to stop anybody. I think dissent is dissent and should be shown. And tax the rich is a good idea, and they'll still be taxed less than they were under Ronald Reagan, Daniel.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's silly. They don't even have their facts straight.
It's criminal what these people have done to this country since Ronald Reagan busted the union with the air traffic controllers, and deregulated everything to the point where they could be like a bunch of kids in a candy store.
You know, I just keep seeing Gordon Gekko and the echo of his protege's face. You know, greed is good. And that's where they got the idea. You know, and this is the United States of us. You know, This isn't just you, and it isn't just me, and it isn't just selfish, selfish, selfish all the time, 24/7. And I think they're afraid that has changed. That's why they're using, you know, strong language and buzzwords like socialism and fascism. And, you know, one guy wrote me and said, well, certain hosts call George Bush a fascist. But, you know, I rarely did. And part of the reason I didn't is because when you use loaded words like that, you better be able to back it up big time. And I think calling George W. Bush, you know, somebody who violated our Constitution and took our country to war illegally is bad enough on its face, you know.
Vincent Bugliosi has a book out.
Yes,
he
does.
And I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's the prosecution of George W. Bush for murder.
For murder and war crimes. I know.
Yeah, I know.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that. I'm not sure the country would benefit from that in some ways, although I personally would love it to see him tried on it, because I think particularly Dick Cheney fueled a lot of that. And I think that's why Dick Cheney is having a real problem staying quiet, because he knows he was pulling the strings, and he knows it's more his legacy than it even is Bush's. And I think that's part of his issue in terms of him speaking out. I mean, it's really unprecedented for any former administrator to say things like, we're not, you notice Dick Cheney isn't out this week going, we're not safe. You know, what's he going to say? We're not safe. Snipers don't shoot pirates in the head. What's he going to say?
Well, Dennis Kucinich has had articles of impeachment for both of those guys. And I think they're all a bunch of criminals that are out to destroy America and put us into a third world country. And the way we're going, they're going to succeed, and I pray that they don't.
Yeah, thank you very much for your
Aaron,
call.
Aaron, thank you very much, and blessings to you.
Thank you, sir. Doug in Fort Collins, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Happy Passover, everyone who's celebrating. Hi, Doug.
How's it going?
I'm well. You?
Good. I'm actually a first-time listener, and I'm really excited.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about, you know, your last caller was talking about prosecuting and saying it's not going to happen. As much as we want it to happen,
it's not going to happen. I agree with you. It probably isn't.
It's really not going to happen. I think we need to focus on a couple of things more important than the last administration. Our education system, and I think David mentioned this a couple callers back. He mentioned that, you know, our education system is deplorable in this country. Mm-hmm. That new child left behind that Bush put into action is a joke. I'm a fourth generation educator, and you know. The education system is so laughable in this country. Our kids are not ready to graduate high school by any stretch of the imagination. Mm. You know, I had a friend in college a couple years back. I was a senior. He was just a freshman. Right out of high school, he couldn't write a simple essay. I mean, I love the guy to death, but he couldn't write a simple, correct syntax essay. You know,
I know. It's frightening. It really is frightening. I've seen a lot of resumes of late too, and it's really scary what people think passes for literacy in this country. And, you know, I mean, I could make a crack here about, and right wing conservatives don't even know the meaning of teabagging, but I won't. I just did. But you know, I think one of the biggest problems we have is that we do not learn anymore, and we do not have good school systems that educate and teach people how to think for themselves. And that's really part of the key, isn't it? It's civics. You know, that's one reason why I'm very grateful for Tom Hartman. He is like the civics teacher in chief. He's wonderful at expressing the history of our country and the meaning and putting things into context and the broader picture. He's very, very good at that. And I appreciate it. Every time I listen to him, I learn something new. And that, I think, is part of what we need in this country and what people are hungry for, which is why even though they try to dismantle Obama's support, they're not winning right now, because we appreciate so much, whatever side we're on, that we actually have a president who understands what he's doing and deliberates and thinks it over first.
And I think that is the key. And you know, in 2000 and 2004, when the liberals lost, the Republicans were in control. You know, we were told, you know, love it or leave it. This is our country. You know, but now that we have all the stroke, we're the ones, you know, they're telling us, oh, socialism, we're an American. You know, it works both ways.
It does. And you know what? What I find heartening is people like Ed Rollins, who's a conservative commentator for CNN,
right,
who writes today that Obama made the right call on that rescue. Good
right.
for him, because Fox News is pretending like it didn't happen. And the reality is he is the commander in chief. And everybody's shoulders just dropped, you know. Nobody can question, you know, whether or not he's going to be tough. He's very tough.
Absolutely.
And I've said it for a long time, but it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to see it. And you know, this isn't his first time doing this either. He's got very tough policies in place for Afghanistan and Iraq, and we're going to have to see if they work.
Absolutely.
You know, but this will go a long way, I think, in quelling all this nonsense about whether or not he's an effective commander-in-chief.
Unfortunately, it's not going to quell it.
Not completely, no.
They're going to find something to complain about regardless.
Seems to be, yes.
One of the things that I cannot stand, and with all of the important issues going on, and, you know, yes, it's a distraction, but as much as I'm happy for the kids, I don't care about the dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a lot bigger things we need to be covering than the White House pet.
All right. Well, I like dogs, and I think dogs rule, but I understand what you're saying. It's 9:51. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk, and keep those dogs leashed, okay? Because we don't want to unleash any dogs of war, dogs of decay.
How far do you think
either.
I could punt your little silk terrier?
Hey! Those are fighting words, buddy. You better be glad I'm not sitting in a studio across from
Pedro,
you, or you'd have a nuggy quick.
Pedro,
hey,
come here, little
you know
puppy.
What? You might be meeting Pedro soon, so you better back off, buddy.
Hey, I'm a dog person.
You
dogs love
back
me.
Back off.
Even the ones I'm about ready to punt across the room.
Hey. I'm going to infiltrate Pedro into Clear Channel. You watch. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Wish from Rochelle. Sure hope Al will be seated soon. That's Al Franken. Such a long, long, long count. Yeah, and they seem to have counted all the votes that mattered, and he keeps winning over and over again, the last time by unanimous decision, but Norm Coleman's still keeping up the fight. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned. Everybody's trying to get Al Franken on. I think he's probably, if I have a guess, he is speaking to Minnesota media, because I think what may happen is that they appreciate having a hometown story and hometown guys staying. You don't see those, either one of them, on national media that much. And I think maybe their handlers decided that until it was decided they would let, you know, people like Harry Reid speak on behalf of Al Franken and the right-wing pubbies speak on behalf of Norm Coleman, but they would try to sort of keep them out of the public media, just sort of keep it a very local race because it is such a searing local issue. When Franken is seated, he will be the 59th senator to fall in the Democrats. And that's one reason why they are fighting like hell not to have him seated, because that'll put us one vote away from having a filibusterless majority. If that's a word. And in fact, it probably isn't, but there you go. And John, our conservative friend, did agree with me about one thing. He says that Barack Obama did a good job on the rescue of the captain. Okay, all you guys, have a good time teabagging tomorrow. Don't get lost. Don't, you know, keep it tight. Keep it light. Have a good time. And thank you, John Turk. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Jay Marvin. Please feel better. We wish you well. I'm Aaron Hart. For all of us here, it's AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. We're sending you some good vibes, Jay, your way. I'm Aaron Hart. Thanks a lot. See you tomorrow.